Overview of Alpha Theta AT training. Historical context. Early developments by Joe Kamiya. The origins of neurofeedback, specifically Alpha Theta AT training, trace back to the groundbreaking work of Joe Kamiya in the 1960s. Kamiya was a pioneer in exploring the possibility that individuals could learn to consciously control their brainwave activity through operant conditioning. His early experiments focused on alpha waves, which are associated with relaxed yet alert mental states. Additionally, alpha frequency activity reflects broadly integrated communication functions, including reciprocal thalamus to cortex interactions. As such, it is an important marker of the health of these systems, and when it is dysregulated, it can be a sign of an underlying structural and/or functional disorder in network communication systems. In Kamiya's studies, participants were given auditory feedback indicating the presence of alpha activity. Through this feedback, participants could learn to increase or decrease their alpha waves voluntarily. Kamiya's work marked a significant departure from earlier neuroscience paradigms, which largely regarded brain activity as outside the realm of conscious influence. One of Kamiya's most cited studies involved participants in a laboratory setting who were asked to identify when they were producing alpha waves. Over time, these individuals demonstrated improved accuracy in recognizing their internal states, effectively proving that brain activity could be brought under volitional control. This finding spurred interest in the use of biofeedback as a tool for self-regulation, opening the door to therapeutic applications. Kamiya's research also showed that training in alpha wave production was associated with reduced anxiety, increased relaxation, and even heightened creative thinking, which made it particularly appealing for clinical and personal development purposes. The theoretical implications of Kamiya's findings extended beyond neurofeedback. His work suggested that the brain's electrical activity could be influenced by psychological processes, an idea that bridged gaps between physiology, psychology, and emerging technologies. Kamiya's alpha biofeedback experiments were considered controversial at the time, but they established a new frontier in brain-computer interaction. Researchers began to hypothesize that similar methods could be applied to other brainwave frequencies, leading to the exploration of theta rhythms and their role in deeper meditative states. Kamiya's work also laid the groundwork for understanding the crossover state, a unique neural condition in which individuals transition between alpha and theta wave dominance. This state is central to alpha-theta training, as it facilitates a semi-waking, introspective mental space conducive to therapeutic breakthroughs. His early findings about alpha rhythms formed the backbone of neurofeedback training, serving as a catalyst for decades of subsequent research and refinement. Beyond the technical innovations, Kamiya's contributions extended to the practical implementation of neurofeedback. He emphasized the importance of precise feedback mechanisms, advocating for auditory tones or visual cues that participants could easily interpret. His methods demonstrated that biofeedback was not merely an abstract concept, but a viable tool for enhancing mental and emotional health. Kamiya's early protocols, though simple by modern standards, set a high bar for methodological rigor, ensuring reproducibility and validity in neurofeedback research. Kamiya's influence also extended into interdisciplinary research. His collaboration with psychologists and neuroscientists enriched the field by incorporating diverse perspectives on brain function and behavior. This interdisciplinary approach remains a cornerstone of neurofeedback studies today, particularly in understanding how neurofeedback can be tailored to individual needs. Kamiya's legacy is not just in the technology, but in the scientific culture he fostered, a commitment to innovation, collaboration, and empirical rigor. Despite his monumental contributions, Kamiya's work was not without criticism. Some researchers questioned the reproducibility of his findings, while others debated the clinical relevance of alpha wave training. However, these challenges ultimately strengthened the field, as they prompted more rigorous experimental designs and advanced neuroimaging techniques to validate the efficacy of neurofeedback. Kamiya's early work thus stands as both a foundation and a provocation, inspiring ongoing exploration into the vast potential of neurofeedback. Contributions by Elmer and Alice Green. Elmer and Alice Green, affiliated with the Menninger Foundation, built upon Camilla's pioneering work by integrating neurofeedback into clinical settings and expanding its theoretical foundations. Their contributions to alpha-theta training were transformative, blending rigorous scientific inquiry with practical therapeutic applications. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, the Greens initiated a series of studies under the Voluntary Controls Program, investigating how individuals could regulate internal states such as brainwave activity, skin temperature, and heart rate variability through biofeedback. The Greens were instrumental in introducing the concept of biofeedback as a holistic intervention, addressing both physiological and psychological dimensions of health. They focused on the therapeutic potential of altering brainwave states, particularly in reducing anxiety and enhancing relaxation. Their studies demonstrated that biofeedback could empower individuals to achieve states of deep relaxation and introspection, which are key components of the alpha-theta crossover state. These findings validated neurofeedback as a viable clinical tool and broadened its appeal across disciplines. One of the Greens' significant contributions was their emphasis on integrating neurofeedback with other therapeutic modalities. For instance, they combined alpha-theta training with guided imagery and relaxation techniques, enhancing the overall efficacy of the intervention. This approach laid the groundwork for multimodal treatment strategies that are now standard in neurofeedback practices. The Greens also highlighted the importance of tailoring neurofeedback protocols to individual needs, recognizing the diverse ways in which people respond to biofeedback training. Their work extended into exploring altered states of consciousness, including those induced by neurofeedback. The Greens hypothesized that alpha-theta training could facilitate access to subconscious material, enabling individuals to process unresolved emotional conflicts and trauma. This perspective linked neurofeedback to psychotherapeutic frameworks, suggesting that changes in brainwave activity could lead to profound psychological insights. Their findings on theta states, in particular, revealed their association with memory retrieval, creativity, and emotional regulation, further solidifying the therapeutic potential of neurofeedback. The Greens were also pioneers in the ethical application of neurofeedback. They emphasized the importance of informed consent, patient education, and the clinician-client relationship in ensuring the safety and effectiveness of neurofeedback interventions. Their commitment to ethical standards helped establish trust in the field, encouraging wider adoption of neurofeedback in clinical and research contexts. In addition to their empirical contributions, the Greens were prolific educators and advocates for neurofeedback. They authored influential texts and conducted training programs for clinicians, spreading knowledge about the benefits and techniques of alpha-theta training. Their efforts created a community of practitioners dedicated to advancing the field, fostering collaboration and innovation in neurofeedback research and practice. Their legacy also includes their work with diverse populations, from meditators and artists to individuals with severe psychological disorders. This broad application of alpha-theta training underscored its versatility and adaptability, paving the way for its use in settings ranging from mental health clinics to peak performance training. The Greens' work remains a cornerstone of neurofeedback, bridging the gap between scientific discovery and practical application. Work by Eugene Penniston. Eugene Penniston revolutionized alpha-theta training by developing specific neurofeedback protocols aimed at treating addiction and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Building on the foundational work of Camilla and the Greens, Penniston's contributions were characterized by their clinical specificity and therapeutic innovation. His work began in the late 1980s at the Fort Lyons Veterans Administration Medical Center, where he introduced a protocol designed to address the unique challenges faced by individuals struggling with substance abuse. Penniston's protocol involved using dual-tone auditory feedback to guide participants into the alpha-theta crossover state. One tone represented alpha activity, while the other indicated theta activity. The training aimed to increase theta activity while gradually decreasing alpha, facilitating entry into a state of deep relaxation and introspection. Penniston referred to this state as the crossover, where participants experienced reduced external awareness and heightened internal focus. This innovative approach proved highly effective in helping individuals access subconscious material, confront underlying emotional issues, and develop healthier coping mechanisms. One of Peniston's landmark studies involved a small group of alcohol-dependent veterans. The results were groundbreaking. Participants in the neurofeedback group demonstrated significant reductions in alcohol consumption and sustained abstinence over a year-long follow-up. These findings were particularly striking compared to the control group, which showed high rates of relapse. Peniston's work thus provided compelling evidence for the efficacy of alpha-theta training in addiction treatment, positioning neurofeedback as a powerful alternative to traditional interventions. Peniston's approach also emphasized the integration of neurofeedback with other therapeutic techniques. He incorporated hypnotic suggestions and post-session debriefing into his protocol, creating a comprehensive treatment plan that addressed the physiological and psychological dimensions of addiction. This holistic approach not only enhanced the effectiveness of the intervention, but also highlighted the importance of addressing the emotional and cognitive aspects of addiction recovery. Beyond addiction, Peniston applied his protocol to the treatment of PTSD, particularly among veterans. His studies demonstrated that alpha-theta training could significantly reduce hyperarousal, intrusive thoughts, and emotional numbing symptoms. Participants reported improved emotional regulation, reduced anxiety, and greater resilience, underscoring the therapeutic potential of neurofeedback for trauma recovery. Peniston's work also shed light on the mechanisms underlying the therapeutic effects of alpha-theta training. He hypothesized that the crossover state allowed individuals to access and reprocess traumatic memories in a safe and controlled environment. This process facilitated emotional resolution and cognitive restructuring, enabling participants to develop new perspectives on their experiences. His findings contributed to a deeper understanding of the interplay between brainwave activity and psychological healing. Despite its success, Peniston's protocol was not without challenges. The dual-tone feedback system required precise calibration, and the training process demanded high levels of client engagement and trust. Participants often reported intense experiences of traumatic recall, often called abreactions, requiring skilled, supportive post-session counseling efforts with Peniston, sometimes in a group context with other participants. However, these challenges were offset by the profound and lasting changes reported by participants, many of whom described the training as transformative. Peniston's work continues to influence the field, inspiring new protocols and applications for alpha-theta training in diverse clinical contexts. Other pioneers include Barbara Brown, Thomas Bijinski, and Lester Femi. Barbara Brown was a strong advocate for biofeedback and neurofeedback and encouraged the use of alpha training for relaxation, meditation, and anxiety reduction. Thomas Bijinski developed early biofeedback training systems and studied cognitive processes in traumatic brain injury, TBI, learning disorders, and cognitive decline in the elderly. He developed a protocol known as Twilight Learning, mostly focusing on the theta frequency band, to facilitate improved cognitive and memory functions. Lester Femi also studied the effects of alpha frequency neurofeedback training, promoting whole brain synchronization of alpha activity, primarily focusing on the posterior cortex. He developed the open focus approach to perceptual expansion. More recently, David Kaiser and William Scott conducted a study with substance use disorder clients following a modified Peniston protocol, using typical SMR and beta training protocols to improve general functioning before beginning the alpha-theta training segment of the program. This published study validated the Peniston protocol and encouraged other clinicians and researchers to pursue similar approaches. Several other researchers conducted studies, including Matthew Kelly, working with the DINE, Navajo, people, who reported on a 3-year follow-up of 19 individuals with substance use issues, showing 21% of participants in sustained full remission and 63% in sustained partial remission. The Burkitt study, published in 2003, showed similar results when working with clients with crack cocaine abuse issues. These are just a few of the published reports regarding the efficacy of alpha-theta training for substance use disorder. Alpha-theta protocol. The alpha-theta protocol is a specialized neurofeedback approach that targets the transition between the alpha and theta brainwave states. This protocol is widely used for promoting deep relaxation, enhancing creativity, and addressing conditions such as trauma, addiction, and anxiety. Alpha Theta training aims to guide clients into a state of focused yet relaxed awareness, where they can access subconscious processes and foster emotional healing. The Alpha Theta protocol begins with a comprehensive assessment to determine its suitability for the client. Practitioners evaluate the client's baseline EEG patterns, focusing on the alpha, 8 to 12 Hz, and theta, 4 to 8 Hz, frequency bands. Clients with conditions such as PTSD or addiction may exhibit imbalances in these frequencies, making them good candidates for this protocol. The assessment also helps practitioners tailor the training parameters to the client's unique needs. During a classic, Peniston-type alpha-theta session, clients are typically seated in a reclined position with their eyes closed, creating an environment conducive to relaxation. The EEG system monitors brain activity, and auditory feedback is provided either through speakers or headphones, typically providing separate tones for alpha and theta frequencies. The feedback often consists of soothing tones or music that changes in response to shifts in alpha and theta activity. This feedback helps clients deepen their relaxation and maintain focus on the desired state. The protocol involves training clients to increase theta activity while simultaneously reducing alpha activity, facilitating a state of hypnagogia, transitional state between wakefulness and sleep. This state is associated with enhanced access to subconscious memories, emotions, and imagery. Clients often report experiencing vivid mental images or insights during these sessions, which can be valuable for therapeutic purposes. Practitioners play a critical role in guiding clients through the Alpha-Theta protocol. They monitor the EEG data to ensure that the client is transitioning between states effectively and intervene if necessary to address challenges, such as difficulty maintaining focus or discomfort. Practitioners may also use verbal prompts to encourage clients to explore their thoughts and feelings during the session. Safety is a key consideration in Alpha-Theta training. Clients may encounter emotionally charged memories or sensations during the process, particularly if they are addressing trauma or addiction. Practitioners should be prepared to provide support and create a safe, non-judgmental space for clients to process these experiences. Clear protocols for managing emotional distress are essential to ensure client safety. The duration and frequency of Alpha-Theta training vary depending on the client's goals and progress. Sessions typically last 30 to 60 minutes and may be conducted 1 to 3 times per week, although some intensive programs provide sessions twice per day, 5 days per week, often for 30 to 40 sessions. Practitioners should monitor the client's response to the training and adjust the protocol as needed to maintain its effectiveness. Integration is an important aspect of the Alpha-Theta protocol. Practitioners should encourage clients to reflect on their experiences after each session, discussing any insights or emotional shifts that occurred. This debriefing process helps clients make sense of their experiences and apply them to their broader therapeutic goals. Journaling or other reflective practices can further support this integration. A more recent iteration of the Alpha-Theta protocol has been developed by clinicians studying the optimum EEG frequency of the crossover state. Findings indicate that the lower frequency component of the theta frequency band from 4 to 6 Hz is associated with an increased incidence of traumatic recall events, while the higher component from 6 to 8 Hz is more closely associated with the calm, introspective reverie state that appears to be responsible for the beneficial effects of the protocol. Similarly, the lower frequency component of the alpha frequency band has different properties from the upper frequency component, and therefore this protocol only rewards the 8 to 9 Hz component and not the 10 to 12 Hz component. This results in a training frequency of 6 to 9 Hz, which simplifies the entire protocol and does not require the same type of fine-tuning necessary with the classic Peniston protocol. It also allows direct proportional feedback, so the client receives constant information about the strength of the desired frequency band, rather than distinguishing between two different sounds representing alpha and theta. This protocol also provides non-intrusive inhibit information for the 2 to 6 Hz portion of the EEG band to decrease the likelihood of abreaction. Audio feedback associated with this inhibit can be something gently alerting, such as the sound of birds chirping in the morning, with gradually increasing volume as the client drifts into this state, to let the client know they are getting too deep without startling them out of their reverie state. The bird's chirping suggests that it is time to wake up a bit. The final aspect of this approach to alpha-theta training is using a high-frequency inhibit to let the client know when they are becoming overly activated, which could lead to more cognitive activity, worry, and/or anxiety. Frequency choices vary among practitioners, but an inhibit frequency of 12 to 36 Hz is often used. Again, gently alerting and/or proportional feedback can be used to provide information and encourage to return to listening to the reward frequency feedback. A common choice is a recording of ocean waves in an inverse proportional setting that provides slightly louder wave sounds as a reward for decreasing the fast beta EEG activity. The decreased volume of the wave sound indicates to the client that they are entering the overaroused range. Again, this gradually decreasing volume, which leads to the absence of the sounds, encourages getting back to the desired training frequency. Consistent with Peniston's approach, many practitioners continue to use guided imagery or behavior change scripts before the beginning of each session to provide positive messages to the brain during the session. This theory suggests that material in immediate short-term memory is translated to long-term memory when theta frequency activity increases, indicating broad, internetwork communication. Such images and scripts are best developed collaboratively between the client and the clinician so that the images and language used are comfortable and meaningful to the client, while the clinician can ensure that all positive language is used rather than anything negative or self-condemning. Finally, post-session processing is important, allowing the client to freely express experiences, images, and feelings encountered during the session. This reinforces the therapeutic relationship as the clinician provides non-judgmental support and encouragement. Research supports the efficacy of alpha-theta training for a range of applications. Studies have demonstrated its benefits for reducing symptoms of PTSD, promoting recovery from addiction, and enhancing creativity and performance in non-clinical populations. However, practitioners should be transparent about the current evidence base and set realistic expectations for outcomes. Assessment, preparation, and proper training of clients are important when considering the use of alpha-theta training. This is true of all therapeutic interventions, but it is even more important when using this training approach. Many individuals who are good candidates for alpha-theta training have a history of trauma of some sort. This may be childhood trauma, such as abuse, or it may be the result of an adult trauma, such as sexual assault, combat experiences, mass shootings, natural disasters, and more. As such, these clients require a strong, ongoing support system, including a solid therapeutic relationship between the therapist and client. During the alpha-theta training session, the client is asked to reduce emotional, psychological, and physical barriers that often result from traumatic experiences. Clients need to trust the clinician to a degree that allows them to lower their defenses, enabling them to experience this transformational state. This requires consistent, non-judgmental support, reassurance, and encouragement. This is one reason many practitioners begin training with a series of less challenging tasks, such as heart rate and respiration training, peripheral hand temperature training, and general EMG-assisted muscle relaxation training, among others. During these exercises, the client can get to know the clinician and learn to trust the relationship. The training, of course, provides important self-regulation and self-calming skills that may be beneficial if the client encounters strong emotions or feelings of being overwhelmed. Many studies of alpha-theta training, beginning with Peniston, utilize these preliminary training techniques, and they have become a standard component of most alpha-theta training programs. Standard intake and assessment tools are also important and have been covered in other lectures. In summary, the alpha-theta protocol is a powerful tool for facilitating deep relaxation and emotional healing. By guiding clients into the alpha-theta crossover state and providing a supportive environment for exploration, practitioners can help clients access transformative insights and achieve meaningful therapeutic goals.